I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Greg Grugan, and you can't believe it. They're still paying me to drink beer and talk to people I'm interested in. Today, that's Andrew White. He's running for governor of Texas, a Democrat. And you know something? I'm wearing some manly headwear, an homage to Andrew White, who, you know, I'm digging the hat, brother.
Hey, it's good to hear. I love cowboy hats. I've loved them for a long time. This is my homage to LBJ.
You know, great Texan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. For those of you who don't know, Andrew White knows a little something about the governor's mansion because his dad was governor of Texas. What was that like, man?
Oh, it was awesome. I was 10 years old, which is the perfect age to show up. You know, my dad got a promotion. I didn't know he was governor of Texas, right? So we moved from a small little house on the outskirts of Austin to this mansion downtown. All of a sudden, we have cooks and security guards. This is 1983. And so it was just so much fun to ride my bike around downtown. I put the bike on the door of the Capitol, walk into the office. One time I came home from school, Teddy Kennedy sitting on my couch, you know, stuff like that would happen. It was a great way to grow up, be exposed to some really interesting, cool things. You know, but we also had some, you know, crazy stuff happen. The KKK would march back in those days. And we'd get bomb threats over the phone. And you know when there's a bomb. It took me until I was about 13 to learn this, but when the security guards would show up real fast and say, let's go see a movie. I was like, when I was 10 and 11, I thought, this is awesome. When I was 13, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? So strange stuff.
All right, I'm going to toast your dad's memory because he was a good Texan.
I appreciate
it. Great leader.
Yeah, we lost him about 7 years ago, so I miss him.
I had an opportunity to talk to him. He was gracious enough to visit with me in the years prior to his passing. Wise man.
He would be shocked if he knew that I was running for governor. I'm the middle kid. The middle kid never does what they're supposed to do. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Frankly, I don't even like politicians. So here I am trying to be one. It's kind of
I hope you like TV guys.
I do like TV guys.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, here I am trying to be one, right? And so the reason is I come from a family of public service. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. My sister was a teacher. My wife was a teacher. My dad did more for public schools than any governor in my lifetime. So it's about giving back. And, you know, it's you think about politicians, and sometimes that giving back isn't the first thing that comes to mind. And we need to change that. You know, we have these career politicians. We have these politicians who are making a fortune trading stocks in Congress. You know, is it about the ego or is it about the people? And, you know, I'm running for governor because I truly, deeply want to change the way things are in Texas. And I think you do that by changing the governor. And just like any organization, culture starts at the top.
All right. What is an independent Democrat?
Yeah. It's good branding. That's what it is.
Well,
I'm an entrepreneur. What do?
Sure.
We create brands. As I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what? The labels that we use are pretty tired.
Yeah.
You know, liberal, progressive, conservative. The issues are a little bit more complicated than that. So I wanted to avoid that. But also, I wanted to signal something. And here's that important little data point. There's 1 million Democrats who vote in the primary in March. There's 11 million Texans who vote in the general election in November. And we have to appeal to those 11 million who are mostly independents and moderates. And so as being an independent Democrat, I want to put my arm around them because, you know, I may have Democratic values, but I make my own decisions independently. And I think that's what the governor of Texas should do.
Okay. If the CEO of Texas currently, the three-term governor in the office right now, were doing the job you thought he should be doing, you wouldn't be running.
Yeah.
What's wrong with what Greg Abbott's doing?
You know, the largest budget item for the state is education, public education. And healthcare is a close second, and it depends how you look at the numbers. But Our schools are 47th in the nation. There's only 50 states. That's a problem.
Where's that number from? Because I was looking for it.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's the ranked basis of spending per student.
Okay.
So if you can use that as a measure. And so we, you know, you, your heart is where your treasure is, and we're spending less and less treasure on our kids. And our kids should be where we make investments, not get, you know, chintzy with. So Greg Abbott's been governor for almost 12 years. And every year, that number that we spend on him goes lower and lower and lower. Under his leadership, we're spending $600 less per student than we were when he started. And that's a terrible trend, right? And so, you know, obviously private school vouchers is a big deal. Here's what he did. Took him five special sessions to pass private school vouchers. He had to go primary a bunch of moderates out of his own party. That's right. He threatened the moderates and he kicked them out. And here's the thing, you know, you're and the definition of an extremist is really easy. An extremist is somebody who doesn't get along with a moderate. Right. So, you know, you're dealing with an extremist, but five special sessions to get this one bill passed. So now we're spending $1 billion of public money and giving it to private schools. There's only 300,000 seats in private schools. We have 5 million kids in public schools. He's just focused on the wrong thing. So that's where I'd start. I'd start with education.
Yeah, you know, look, they suggest that competition will make public schools better. We got about a minute before the break. You want to address that?
Yeah, sure. Competition's great. I'm an entrepreneur. I love competition, right? But the fact of the matter is there aren't enough private schools to fill the need, and there's not enough charter schools to fill the need. And so we have to deal with the reality that we have in place. So what I would do is I'd bring in a leader like an Admiral William McRaven, right, and have him put together a blue ribbon commission to redesign the way we do public schools in Texas, and then give that an up or down vote in the legislature, no amendments. And that's the kind of leadership that I would bring. Politicians are not going to fix our problem. We have to do something different.
All right, Andrew White. Man, it's great having you here.
Yeah.
Hey, Red, White, and Bruce will be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome back to Red, White, and Bruce. I love our little theme song there. I'm here with Andrew White, candidate for governor. He's an independent Democrat. We were talking about school choice. We don't know how that's going to end up. Mm-hmm. We got $1 billion on the table. I think there are going to be a lot of people who might want some of that money but won't qualify for it. But look, you know, what we do know is that the polls are saying a majority of Texas parents want the option to go that direction. And who doesn't like options?
Right. Yeah, you know what? I want my kids to go to the best schools as well. And I think what that poll says is really the same thing, that parents want their kids to go to a great school. And they're worried about the public school around the corner, and they assume that the private school is going to be better. And here's the problem is, they're only giving you $1,000 if you can get that $1,000. And the average private school is going to be 15 grand or maybe as much as
30 grand.
I think
it's about 10, right? You're talking about 10,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen what happens when the government gets involved in schools like they did with, you know, universities. When they subsidize education, guess what happens? The price of it goes up. And somebody wouldn't tell me if that $10,000 price tag on average becomes $11,000 when they're giving away free $1,000 bills from the government, right? So it's not a real solution to our problem. And the fact of the matter is you got to roll up your sleeves. You got to do the real work.
Okay. All right, man. I'm just stunned. Look, you have been a successful entrepreneur, you know, so it's not wealth or power that you're seeking. You're comfortable. But there has to be, you know, some linchpin moment that drove you back into what your dad was doing, was serving the people of Texas.
Yeah, you know, I had obviously a back row pass or a seat to watching my dad serve as governor of Texas. And I saw his motives and I saw why he was doing things, and it truly was for service. And so there's no higher calling than serving other people. I'm a Christian. To me, serving others is what we're called to do, servant leadership. And so that's what's important. I've been very fortunate in my work career. I've started four companies and sold four companies. I'm now I've sold them all so I can focus on this campaign. But the things that affect me, recently my son was at a camp and on the 4th of July, and he was there in the flood.
Oh.
And he was a counselor. And that morning, my wife and I got some really scary texts. And they didn't know where he was. And they couldn't find him. And he was in one of the worst hit cabins right down from Camp Mystic.
Wow.
That's not the text that you want.
No.
So we drove 100 miles an hour to Hunt, Texas, and found out that he was okay, thank God. And he and his three other co-counselors had woken up, and there was about 3 inches of water, and in about 20 minutes, there was 9 feet of water. And they were swimming 37, 8, 9-year-old boys, literally swimming them into the rafters to save their lives. And, you know, my son is 6'3", and is in a lot better shape than I am. And he said, Dad, it was close, you know? And then they were stuck with this much air left, and he was pounding the underside of the cabin to get through the roof. And then he realized that wasn't gonna happen, and he and his counselor said their last prayers. And then, thank God, the water stopped. My neighbor, their daughter, didn't come home.
Wow.
And why? Why? And my wife and I asked ourselves that question, why? Why did this happen? And we now know that Kerr County had been asking for flood detection equipment for 10 years. And for 10 years, the state had said no. Because the good thing to do, if you were following the MAGA philosophy of the last 10 years, is to just not spend money. And so they wouldn't spend it on, even on something like that. It takes zero imagination to know that there's a problem in Hunt, Texas with floods.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't blame like any one person for this. It was a natural catastrophe, but I blame all of our leaders for this because we could have been better prepared. And, you know, they're really good at showing up after the fact at the press conferences, but they just don't care about preparing us beforehand. And so that's why I'm running for governor.
Do you feel like the situation quickly became politicized and did it stick in your craw? I'm guessing it did.
It did. I mean, it like the day after in the press conference, you know, Greg Abbott was sort of doing his MAGA-isms right in front of the grieving parents who literally had just lost their children hours before. And it's just like they've lost their perspective on life. And so, you know, we just have to have a different style of leadership. We need a culture change. And I'm a big believer that it starts at the top. And we can change everything that happens in Austin. You know, like nobody works with each other. You know, that's the beauty of being an outsider in this race. I'm not mad at anybody. I want to get in there and work with both sides of the aisle because these problems, you know, infrastructure problems, safety problems, healthcare problems, they're really not, you know, Democrat or Republican problems. They're all of our problems.
Look, I have watched as the parties have moved to the periphery, excommunicating people along the way.
Yeah.
Do you really believe, I think there are more independents in Texas than, you know, any of the two parties.
Yeah, for sure. That's the sad thing, right? A million Democrats vote in the primary and 2 million Republicans vote in their primary. That's 3 million people, but 11 million voters vote in November, right? That's 8 million people who are not voting. And, you know, if they would vote in a primary, we would get balanced leaders instead of these extremists. And listen, I'm talking on both sides here, right? It just so happens that in Texas, they're all in the Republican Party. But you can see in other areas like, I don't know, New York City, you know, maybe other areas we have on the other end
of
the spectrum.
Well, how about Harris County? I mean, I've seen people excommunicated because they didn't toe the party line on Team Blue. So, I mean, you know, it happens
on both sides. And the sad thing is there's so many of us who are somewhere in the middle on that issue. And we just aren't being represented. And so, you know, I just think it's time for people to vote in a primary.
Let's keep this conversation going. Red, White, and Blues will be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome back to Red, White, and Blues. I'm with Andrew White, candidate for governor, independent Democrat. You know, Texas is a great place, but, you know, we have some flaws. And last time I checked, we've got the highest number of uninsured people in the country.
Yeah.
Is that a problem for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, healthcare is completely broken, and it's especially broken in Texas, but it's broken nationwide. The model that we're using just doesn't work. The third-party payer, where you have to, you know, pay an insurance company, then the insurance company tells you what they're going to cover or not cover, and then they negotiate on the other side. I think we have to do something different. I mean, the obvious thing is in Texas, you have to expand Medicaid. Governor Abbott didn't do that.
And governors before him. I mean, Ed Emmett here in Harris County told me once, he said, like, we need to, it was like, oh my gosh, a Republican saying this, we need to expand Medicaid.
Yeah.
And he was almost.
I mean, it's just money in the bank, and you can't say no to money, right? We've lost 20 hospitals, most of them rural hospitals, yeah, right? And when you lose a rural hospital, you lose jobs, you lose the center of the whole county right there. But we lost it because he just literally said no to the money. And we had to put up a dollar, and the federal government would give us $10. And he said no. I mean, that's a terrible thing to do, right? We missed out on $100 billion because of it. And it was entirely within his control.
You know, the argument I hear there is, well, what happens if they take the $9? And I said, well, you know, we'll deal with that problem when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, but and I'm, you know, generally an independent.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like leaving found money on the table.
It really is. I mean, you don't have to be a businessman to know that's a good deal, right? Yeah. But he stood on this principle that he didn't want to increase the national debt. Okay, but then fast forward to Operation Lone Star, where he activated the National Guard and spent $14 billion to basically do the job that the Border Patrol should be doing and could have been doing. And then he went and charged the federal government for that. So there's no like theory here that he's standing on. It's just all politically oriented.
Well, I agreed with Operation Lone Star just because
the borders were failing.
And the Border Patrol was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So they needed some backup there. Hey, look, you know, as you travel the state, you know, what do you want to leave folks with as a first impression?
Yeah, so it's time to, Democratic voters need to do something different. We've nominated Wendy Davis. She lost by 21 votes or 21 points. We nominated Lupe Valdez. She lost by 13 points. And most recently, we nominated Beto O'Rourke.
A great politician.
Maybe one of the best in our lifetimes.
Incredible retail campaigner.
Unbelievable. Raised more money than anybody in Texas history.
Got smoked.
10 points and a million votes, yeah, right? So my message to Democratic voters is we got to do something different. You can't just do the same thing over and over and expect different results. So I'm an entrepreneur. I've never been a politician. I think I'm the right guy for the moment. And I'm getting a sense, every time I speak at an event, you know, they sort of start off looking for a progressive candidate. Yeah. And I explain to them, listen, I'm not running in Lizzie Fletcher's district. I'm running statewide. Yeah. And a light goes off and they're like, okay, yeah, we get it. We need to do something different. Maybe Andrew's the right guy. We need a balanced leader for this race.
Look, you know, there are hills worth dying on. But some of the ones that have been chosen by folks on the left are, you know, ill-advised.
Yep, yep. There's a lot of purity tests happening, and less and less more recently, but we still have them. And I can see it in people's eyes sometimes. Every, you know, so often someone has an issue, and it's just their issue, and they're gonna die on the hill, as you say. And it could be the transgender issues, or it could be abortion issues, or whatnot. But my message to them is, you may be a progressive, but if you really want to make progress, you got to win. You got to get off the sidewalk and actually in the governor's office so you can sign bills into law. And so sometimes it means you just don't get everything you want, but it's about making progress.
Is there anything fun about this, running for office?
It's not the driving around Texas, 6 hours in the car.
Yeah.
But I love talking to people all over Texas and hearing their stories and seeing what's going on in their lives and what's affecting them. I mean, it's energizing, and it's a real thrill. If I have the privilege of being able to represent all of Texas into the future and prepare us for what we need to prepare for, it would be an honor of a lifetime.
How would you stop this kind of scorched earth, a winner-take-all legislating and leading?
Personal relationships. I really deeply believe in personal relationships. I believe it's a mistake that Democrats and Republicans don't, you know, talk to each other, don't eat together, don't spend time together. We need to be, you know, worshiping together on Sundays. We need to be enjoying our families together. It's like in your office, you have friendships that you build in your working relationships, and you can do more because of that. And I believe that sort of thing starts literally at the top. And so as governor, I can set that culture and enforce it and live it. The other part is, listen, if you really want to do something great, I've learned this as an entrepreneur, then don't take credit for it. Take the blame, but just don't take the credit. And the credit will come, but don't look for it.
Wow. Anything you've learned real quick, you got about 45 seconds. Anything you thought you knew, but you're surprised to know that you're a little off base?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the purity test issues where my heart breaks for these families, and even on the transgender issue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just moms and dads, you know, and they're just trying to do their best. You read the policy lines and you see all the anger, but, you know, forget that stuff. This is real people, real lives, you know?
Andrew White, been great spending time with you. Hope to see you next time on Red, White, and Brews. I pledge allegiance.